Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Morning Commodity Market Report, our opening one. The International Monetary Fund foresees the U.S. economy growing at a modest 2% this year, below its previous estimate of 2.7%. That would be nearly identical to the economy's 1.9% growth rate in 2013. The IMF says a brutal winter and a slowing housing recovery caused the economy to shrink during the first 3 months of 2014. The Federal Reserve today says that U.S. manufacturing output rose in May after shrinking in April, led by greater production of autos, computers, and furniture. Factory output rose 0.6% in May after dipping 0.1% the previous month. Mining output, which includes oil and gas production, jumped 1.3%. Hillshire Brands Company today says that its board no longer recommends the company's pending acquisition of Pinnacle Foods Incorporated, given Tyson Foods' hefty offer to acquire Hillshire. Earlier this month, Tyson boosted its offer to buy Hillshire to $63 a share. Hillshire today says that its board now recommends a vote against the Pinnacle Foods deal and calls the Tyson offer a, quote, superior proposal. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 16,766. It's down 9 points. The NASDAQ trading 43.16, up almost 6. The S&P 500, 19.38, and it is up 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest weather is expected to be quite favorable over the next full week. I see no reason to be terribly concerned about some drying bias that may occur in some of the southwestern portions of the region as we go forward through the next 7 days. Those drier southwestern areas would include portions of southern Illinois, western Kentucky, the northern U.S. Delta, as well as portions of Missouri. These areas may get less than a half inch of rain, and temperatures will be in the 80s and lower 90s fairly often over this next several-day period. So net drying is expected. The ground will firm up. There may be some concern about that trend, but it doesn't look like it will be very sustainable. There is a cool air mass that is poised in Canada to come south and work its way through the Midwest over the coming weekend. And as that takes place, the potential for rain in the lower parts of the Midwest and the Delta may increase as we move forward in time. Now, there's no assurance that the cold air is going to be as significant as what's being advertised, and a close monitoring of the situation is still warranted, but there's still plenty of moisture in the ground and the subsoil in particular to carry on normal crop development if there is a period of drier weather across some of these areas for a while. We expect rain and thunderstorms to be more common across the rest of the Midwest. Many areas from Michigan and parts of Ohio back into North Dakota will see showers and thunderstorms over the coming week, and rain totals are likely to run anywhere from 1 to 3 inches by this time next week across much of that region. The precipitation will be favorable for long-term crop development, but unfortunately for spraying purposes and any late-season planting that is left to be done, the precipitation will be not so welcome. We do expect to see the temperatures warm enough during the coming week to help to provide a favorable rate of evaporation to occur between storm systems. And so the areas that pick up on rain will have a chance to dry down between rain events. It doesn't just rain one day right after the other. We will see some breaks in the precipitation. The bottom line is it's still a very good environment for most of the U.S. Midwest crop areas. Over the weekend, of course, some very heavy rain fell in portions of the region from eastern Nebraska into southern Minnesota and western portions of Wisconsin. This does include some counties and portions of northwestern Iowa. The rain in this area ranged in from 1 to 3 inches, and some local totals getting up over 5 inches. There was some flooding in the region. A little bit of concern about crop conditions arose from this event. There are some areas in east and central sections of Iowa that are becoming progressively drier. They're being missed by some of these rain events here recently, and so that is being closely monitored in the marketplace today. But I don't believe that that will turn into any kind of a serious problem, because showers and thunderstorms are really quite probable for some of that region over this next week. The temperatures I've already mentioned will be in the 80s and lower 90s in the lower parts of the Midwest, with the high temperatures daily over this coming week, and the upper parts of the region will probably reach mostly 70s and 80s, lower 80s at that. And the low temperatures at night will likely be in the 50s and 60s across the majority of the Midwest, but there will be some 70-degree readings that will occur in southern parts of the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Remember, these are live quotes. Hard red winter wheat, July at 7.14.5, up 1.25. September, 7.16.5, up 1. Soft July, 5.89, up 3. September, 5.98.75, up 2.25. July corn, 4.44, down 3. September, 4.40, down 3. December, 4.44.25, down 3.25. July 15, 4.68.25, down 3. July soybeans, 14.28.75, now a half, up 1.75, now up 1.5. August, 13.70.5, up 1. September, 12.56, down 4. November, 12.18, down 3.25. July soybean meal, 4.67.50, down 40 cents. August is 4.43.20, down 20. July soybean oil, 39.51, down 18. August is 39.60, down 18. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets on this Monday morning is Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. As front side soybeans are, I guess NOPA is coming out a little bit later today. We needed a reminder. I don't know if anyone really needs a reminder, but if we needed a reminder, we'll get one of how tight the yield crop beans are, I suppose.
Yeah, 11 o'clock this morning, NOPA crush for May. Supposed to be right around 127 million bushels. That compares to 132.5 in April, but still a pretty healthy number based on how tight things are. And you know, still somewhat of a disconnect. The cash market continues to be flat, but USDA continues to tell us that things are awful tight. So a little disconnect there. Dave, we'll see how it straightens out. Maybe the stocks report at the end of the month will shed some light on that a little bit here. But, yeah, that's offering a little support to the front month here this morning. Corn weakening up here a little bit. Obviously, the weather still looks pretty good. Going to warm up a little bit this week, but some rain at the end. So no big concern there. Crop progress this afternoon should show rating steady to maybe a touch better. We'll see. Wheat seeing a little support here today with continued rains out in the plains, maybe causing some concerns about when harvest starts out there a little bit. But you know, overall, Dave, it's another quiet start to the week with news still somewhat limited at the point.
A couple of things. If I look at the November soybean composite chart and kind of squint my eyes a little bit, am I seeing the potential for a head and shoulders top?
Yeah, I think that's something we got to keep an eye on. Obviously, fundamentally, there's not a lot of excitement for a reason to rally here as we move forward if the weather continues to cooperate here. So that's something to, keep an eye on. If the technical considerations give up here a little bit, that we could see some more downside risk there, Dave.
The other thing is a fundamental thing, and that has to do with crop ratings this afternoon. I don't know if it was a coincidence that when crop ratings for corn went down slightly, we went up slightly in the last week in the corn charts. And I'm wondering if we can see more downward pressure, good to excellent category. Might we see the corn crop stabilize at these levels of prices?
Yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, that first number at 76% good to excellent, it's really hard to go up from there, right?
Right.
So I think that's something we need to keep an eye on. Obviously, corn ratings continue to be pretty subjective, so I know the market likes to trade them for a few hours Monday night and into Tuesday morning. But overall, you know, a 75% or 76 or wherever that number is still suggests that things are awful good, still a lot of potential there. So I think longer term it's still going to make sure the market probably kind of struggles here on any kind of rally, and that seems to be still the mojo here this morning. You know, we got July corn continuing to try to hold some support at 440, but really anytime we perk our head up to the positive side, it quickly kind of gets chopped off here, Dave.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Have a good day.
Bye. You too. Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. December corn, 443 3/4, down 3 3/4. And November soybeans are 1217 3/4, down 3 1/2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.